Okay, before we jump into another episode of RHO D&D, we wanted to take a quick moment to shout out our amazing patrons over at patreon.com/housewivesofd&D. We're an entirely independently run show, and we quite literally couldn't do it without your support. So thank you for joining our Patreon and helping us continue to make new episodes of RHO D&D. If you haven't checked it out yet, head on over to patreon.com/housewivesofd&D for access to our player character sheets, DM notes and confessionals, video versions of our episodes, our full-length behind-the-scenes podcast released every other Monday on our off weeks, live events, merch drops, the chance to name an NPC, and so much more. Patreon.com/housewivesofd&D.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Want to get a chiseled look in the jawline? Sculpt and shape your jawline with added volume from Juvederm Volux XC. Juvederm Volux XC is an injectable gel specifically designed to be robust enough to improve moderate to severe loss of jawline definition. And it is the first and only hyaluronic acid filler approved for the jawline. Add volume to your jawline for a chiseled look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you. Visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com.
One size fits all seemed like a good idea for clothes. Nice
dress. It's a t-shirt.
Until you tried it on. Same goes for your healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers a variety of flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. So whether you're between jobs, coming off a parent's plan, or even missed open enrollment, you can find the plan that fits you best. Find out more about United Healthcare coverage at uh1.com. That's uh1.com.
RHO D&D is intended for mature listeners. Content warnings can be found in the episode notes, along with links to all of our maps, transcripts, and ancillary content.
You guys, welcome back to another episode of RHO D&D.
Woo!
I'm Balan Shore, one of your DMs.
And I'm Allison Zada, your other DM. And now let's have the cast introduce themselves, starting with Riley Rose Critchlow.
Hi, I'm Riley Rose Critchlow. I play Cassandra Kasternak.
Elizabeth Ho.
Hey, I'm Liz Ho. I play Dr. C.
Liz Jenkins.
Hello, I'm Liz, and I play Cece.
Kosha Patel.
I'm Kosha, and I play Kiki.
And Nicole Weiland.
I'm Nicole Weiland. I play Anya Amovich.
Yay.
And now we're going to play a little game called Confessional. This is, of course, our very cute and very on-brand way to learn more about you and or your character. And this week's confessional question is, what's your / your character's guilty pleasure TV show? We'll start with Riley.
I mean, my guilty pleasure TV show is Real Housewives. So that's it. Cass, I feel like, doesn't watch TV.
Mm, oh, interesting. Yeah.
Except for her own seasons of Real Housewives. So maybe her guilty pleasure is she's like secretly watches Succession, you know?
Oh.
Like, wow. But won't tell anybody about it.
Like, that's the show that she picks. Old white men fighting about money.
Yeah.
Got it.
Does Cass have a crush on any of those Succession characters?
No, just on herself on Real Housewives of Anaheim.
Okay.
Fair.
Right. How about you, Liz Ho?
I think Dr. C's guilty pleasure show is The Bachelor. Because she was, you know, she does have a history with it. So she tells people that she doesn't watch it. But
the drama.
She does watch it. She's caught up on every season.
Mm-hmm. We actually have notes about Dr. C and their past on The Bachelor in the room.
Mm-hmm. So. Should it come up when it comes up?
Should it come up?
Yeah, should it ever come up? Perfect.
How about you, Liz Jenkins?
So my guilty pleasure TV show that I like to watch is Real Bad. It's Teen Mom.
That's mine too, Liz.
I love those teen adults now because they're like 30, but I love it. I have no shame. Actually, I'm not ashamed. When I had my baby, I was like, oh, I can do this. And then I think, of course, Cece's guilty pleasure is watching old episodes of her own show that is currently streaming on Pluto TV.
Oh. Baby girl.
Yes.
Her show, What's All That About? Yes. Just airing constantly on Pluto.
Does she say the like lines with her character?
Absolutely.
Every whoops was that me, and then just basking in the applause and laughter. How about you, Kosha?
I don't believe in guilty pleasure, only pleasure. So I like proudly watch terrible things like Olympus Has Fallen, Fast and the Furious 2, like anything that...
Too Fast, Too Furious is a fantastic
film. Fast, Too Furious. Anything that is really critically like just railed, I will proudly watch and support. I think this might be the thing that Kiki and Kosha have in common. I don't think Kiki feels very guilty about anything either. I don't think she's self-aware enough to like feel guilt, but I feel like she definitely is watching like Harrison Ford movies or anything about the law, but I don't think she would like openly admit that she doesn't understand like the plot points.
Amazing. How about you, Nicole?
If The Fugitive is on, I'm gonna watch it. If The Net is on, I'm gonna watch it.
Yeah. I love me a Sandy
when she
Bullock.
Spells out Angela Bennett. Get out of here, Sandy's best work on the Anya front. Her guilty pleasure, which is like she can't let anyone know, is 90 Day Fiance, because as a former literal mail order bride herself, she really identifies with a lot of these women. And she like is kind of processing trauma through the show in a way that's not healthy.
Such a great show.
Valen, what's yours?
Well, yes, I very unguiltily watch all the reality shows. I think it would be hard to find any of a certain genre that I haven't seen. But I think out of all of them, the one I probably should not have sunk as much time as I did into is Siesta Key, which is basically like The Hills, but in Florida.
Mm-hmm. Okay, okay.
I'm sad that I don't know what that is.
Mm-hmm. I'm sad they didn't call it The Swamps.
The Swamps.
Oh, wow. That would have been amazing.
Missed opportunity.
I highly recommend all, I think, 4 seasons of Siesta Key.
I feel like, Valen, that's an excellent point, because it's less about the guilt of watching the program and more about the amount of days of your actual life, of your one precious life.
Yeah.
Like the amount of time that I've spent watching Real Housewives, it's not about the content itself. It's about the commitment.
Agree.
Yeah, it's the time.
Did you watch Jersey Shore too, Valen?
Yeah.
Oh, hell yeah.
You know, I love reality TV. I actually have a hard time watching anything that's not a reality show.
Shame.
Well, that's the thing. I spend all of my time acting and writing and directing and helping other people act and write and direct. And at the end of the day, sometimes I just want to see some shit that doesn't involve any of those things, really.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's like very lightly adjacent at best.
Yes. I highly recommend the Floridian version of The Hills.
It's... I'm going to check it out. What about you, Allison?
Oh, mine is also Teen Mom, like Liz's. Oh, yeah. I've been watching that show for really long. I mean, since they were on 16 and Pregnant, and now, they're all in their 30s, and I'm very invested.
And they still call it Teen Mom?
Teen Mom OG.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
OG. Who's your favorite, Allison?
Caitlin and Tyler. I feel like their storyline is just like, I've changed my opinion about them.
They're basically Romeo and Juliet.
It's true. But Macy has always been someone that I just, there's a lot of drama there. I don't know. I like the original Teen Mom crew, like the Teen Mom 2 people who've come in. Like, I'm not as attached to them yet. I don't know.
Yet. It's been decades.
I'm Instagram friends with Leah and Amber.
Oh, really? Like real friends? Like you can slide into those DM friends?
Oh, yeah. We DM. Leah and I DM.
Really?
Wow. I love Leah.
How interesting.
She's Teen Mom 2, but I love her.
Yeah. Yeah.
And Amber... Let's move on.
Last week on RHO D&D, Bryn and Dr. Christina soared through the skies with Christian the Winky Vulture, where Bryn confided in Dr. C by sharing some long-buried memories about his tragic and mysterious backstory. In return, Dr. C gave him the gift of a jeweled dagger, but made him promise not to tell Mama Anya. That seems fine.
Down on the high road, Anya continued trying and failing to find honey mushrooms, while Kiki rode ahead and encountered a beautiful wild boar. She chose not to sneak past it and triggered a battle that knocked her precious Brock prone. But that blowgun bundle finally came in handy when Kiki shot the boar right in the face. Brava, Kiki! In the low road tunnel, Cass and Cece continued to make their way past the ground bats. Cece did very impressive mime and gymnastics routines, but couldn't avoid being nipped on the thigh by the boss bat, Cousin Kevin. Puddlecast was terrified of Cousin Kevin, but kept it together enough to put her mage hand to good use by feeding him a poisonous purple mushroom and slapping poor Sister Pluvius. Meanwhile, poor Sister Pluvius, left alone in a swarm of ground bats by her disinterested companions, was forced to defend herself with a scimitar, but felt pretty bad about it afterwards. Will Cass and Cece ever make it past Cousin Kevin and out of this tunnel? Will Kiki survive her encounter with this gorgeous boar? And will Anya come to her aid? And will Bryn and Dr. C ever notice the battle raging below? Find out this week on RHO D&D. Okay, so this boar is facing down Kiki. Cass and Cece are in midst battle with the ground bats. Anya is maybe going to help Kiki out, and Dr. C is flying in the air with Bryn.
Anya, you approach the scene, and you see Kiki looking very fight or flight across from this boar, and with a blow dart sticking out of it, the middle of its head in between the eyes, and it's a very cross-eyed boar, I might add. Maybe even permanently so.
Oh, whoa. No!
But it is very beautiful, despite its injury.
That coat.
That diamond. Coat.
Diamond.
Okay, so I think, okay, am I within 60 feet, do you think, of this creature at this point?
Yeah, I'd say so.
Yeah, you're about 30 feet away from the action here.
Okay, cool. Because I was really hoping to take the bonus action, Shield of Jeans.
Ooh.
Jeans or jeans?
Jeans.
Like Jordache cool. Jeans?
No, like jeans. Like jeans. If I just keep saying it, you'll get it, right? With a G. Jeans with a G.
Can you tell us what it does?
I would absolutely love to. You call on the power of your ancient bloodline for protection. A shimmering field appears and surrounds a creature of your choice within range, granting a +2 bonus AC for the duration. It does require concentration. So I'm going to toss this up between Kiki, Brock, myself, Butter, and the boar.
Kiki is like, save Brock!
How big is the shield?
It doesn't say. It just says bonus action, concentration up to 10 minutes. You call on the power of your ancient bloodline for a shimmering field. A shimmering field appears.
It seems like it surrounds a creature of your choice. So are you surrounding the boar or are you surrounding one of the other creatures?
If you choose the boar, that'll be weird.
Then he can't attack anyone else.
But it means you can't attack the boar if you choose the boar, right?
Right.
Yeah. You're raising its AC.
Yeah, no, I'm going to choose Kiki.
Okay.
Because
okay.
She's the one being attacked. I would instinctually just be like, and throw that up there.
Save Brock! Save Brock!
And then that's a bonus action. So I'm also going to like hop off Butter and prep some spells, I guess. What else could I do?
A little dance.
And I do not do a little dance.
Damn.
But I shout to Kiki like, Kiki, are you okay? What is going on?
Kiki is like, what do you think is going on? Kill it! Kill it!
Oh, okay. Well, then in that case, I guess I'll just, you know what I actually want to do instead of killing it?
What do you want to do, Nicole?
Nice. Honey, I want to look at that compass. I want to look at the compass.
Oh, okay.
I have a compass, an enchanted compass.
Humble brag.
It's a wondrous item. It's rare. I found it at the Gallery of Past Lovers, and it is assumed to belong to the one who got away. As it was displayed underneath his portrait. The description is, this golden compass is small and ornately crafted with intricate designs etched into its surface, and it points the way to the nearest treasure or valuable item.
Wow. And just so that I'm clear, which one of our like white brunette 90s heartthrobs was the portrait of the one who got away? Was that Prince Eric?
Yeah, it was the one that looked kind of like Prince Eric.
Yeah.
Okay. It's just good for me to know.
I'm picturing like
2013 John Hamm is what I'm picturing.
Ooh.
Okay.
All right.
Because I want a man and not a boy. Anyway, so I want to just see if this, like, pig is valuable in any way and, like, if it's chill. Like, there's a shield between Kiki and the boar, so it's not like he can attack her in this moment. Yeah. So I just want to, like, check it out.
Great.
So when I look at this compass, what's it telling me?
Well, your intuition, your natural intuition is spot on because it's pointing straight to the boar itself. And could you give us an intuition check to see if anything else comes to mind?
Treasure pig.
Sure.
Treasure pig.
Treasure pig.
I mean, piggy banks are a thing.
That's true. Oh,
my God. That is a 23.
Wow. Yeah, you can tell by its hide slash coat that that could fetch a pretty penny, potentially. Mm-hmm. The tusks look made out of, you know, some sort of ivory type of thing.
Oh. Could I tell if it's more valuable alive or dead?
Huh.
Is it just the value or she can see, like, yeah, is it the pig? Is it, like, something in the pig's stomach? Is it...
No, it's the pig itself. It's the boar itself.
So the whole boar.
Well...
Question mark about alive or dead.
I think that you could also skin it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Which Anya is not opposed to and has done before. So it's chill.
Oh, my God.
I'm sorry. This is a hunting thing.
Yeah.
I knew it. Both Kosha and Kiki have known this all along. Let's kill this fucker.
All right. So I think that's my turn, I would
assume.
Yeah,
that's your turn.
Yeah.
Great. Back up to Kiki.
Can I just shout, Kiki, it is very valuable pig.
Kiki is like, yes, exactly. Kill it.
Okay, girl, your turn.
Okay, wait. Kiki wants to. Is Kiki allowed to attack while she's under this thingy?
Bubble?
Yes. Oh, yeah, it's just giving you a +2 to your AC if I'm understanding it correctly.
Yeah.
So it'll be harder for the boar.
Great, let's take out the blowgun.
Yeah.
Great. Yes, babe. Yeah.
Finally.
Or no, short bow.
Oh.
You're a little too close for a short bow, but you could move away.
All right, so let's not do any of that. let's do an unarmed strike at this guy.
Nice.
Scratch it.
All right.
Okay.
I guess I'll just... Oh, God. And then what do I add here? I'm adding...
Are you using the blowgun or the fingernails?
I'm punching.
Oh, punching. That's right. My bad.
You have a +3 attack bonus for your unarmed strike.
It's a 9. You know what I'm gonna do right now? I'm gonna use one of my luck points.
All right.
Okay.
Nice. Right.
Okay, let's do this again. Okay, here we go. 18, 19, 20, 21.
Yes. Punch that pig.
You punched that. Are you right-handed or left-handed?
I think Kiki might be left-handed.
Okay.
But for the record, Kosha is right.
Yeah, you punch that boar on the right side of its face with your left fist, and it just makes, like, the perfect kind of squishy contact. Like, in the movies, like, it even makes that sound, which is actually kind of hard to do in real life, but you've managed it. Yes.
Nice.
And you see some boar saliva, like... kind of shoot out and, you know, across the way as you do so.
Boar saliva, yummy.
Can I jump on its back and take it by the horns?
Huh.
That's a movement.
Does it have horns? I think it just has tusks. So you're grabbing its teeth?
It has tusks.
It has tusks.
Either way, can she jump on its back?
And reach down for the tusks?
She can try.
I feel like that's either an acrobatics, athletics, or animal handling situation to me, but I could be convinced otherwise.
Oh, definitely going to go with acrobatics.
Okay.
For sure.
Okay.
Rolling with all her might.
Oh my God. Okay, it's an 8.
Oh. Plus your thing?
Yes, it's a 3 plus 5.
Oh, no.
Okay. You managed to jump on to the boar's back, but then you slip right off onto the other side. So,
because his fur is just so glossy and smooth.
It's too glossy. Wow. A slippery little piggy.
Ugh.
So you jump on the boar and you slip off and you land further to the bottom between these two stones.
Great. And just to prepare for the next turn, she's probably reaching for her short bow.
Great. Does that count as an equipment or?
Technically not. Technically, equipping is an action on its own.
But it tells Anya that she's maybe next turn going to
Yes.
like it indicates
Yes.
something.
Yes.
Fine with that.
Can we have Dr. C and Bryn roll to see if they hear this ruckus at all?
Oh, yeah, for yeah. sure.
Yeah, I feel like Kiki trying to tackle a pig is probably pretty loud.
Yeah.
Kiki has been like violently like.
Yeah. And you hear the boar squeal when it gets punched and, yeah. you know, squeal when you jump on its back. As well.
I got a 3.
I also got a 3.
Guys, they're just too enraptured with each other. Oh, they're just gazing into each other's eyes and the whole world just fades away.
Yeah, that's so funny. It's a beautiful sky that you're flying through.
Well, which we tried.
Yeah, we tried.
Okay, so it is now the boar's turn.
Oh, no.
I think it is going to turn around to Kiki and charge at her again.
I have a question.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Shouldn't the boar have rolled for damage when I punched him?
Your punch automatically does 2 damage.
Got it.
So it just lost 2 HP. But if anyone had rolled for damage in that situation, it would have been you to see how much damage you do to the boar.
Got it. Okay. I just want to make sure.
Yeah. Sometimes, like, a weapon has, like, a roll attached to it, and sometimes a strike or something like that just has, like, the blowgun just has, like, a singular damage, right?
Yeah, the blowgun just has singular damage, unless you roll a natural 20, as we just discovered.
Gotcha. Okay, okay. Okay.
So that boar is going to turn around towards you, and it's going to use its movement to, you know, run up at you. And then for its action, it's going to use its hooves, which is a melee weapon attack.
They're so sharp.
They're so sharp.
Yeah. I'm not scared. I have Anya's little bubble around me.
That's right. I got you the bubble, girl.
Oh, yeah. What's the AC now?
+2.
Yeah, it's. I think it's visible, and you kind of see a shimmer of faces that sort of look like Anya's, but they're different people.
They're my ancestors.
Anya adjacent ghosts are just.
They're all winking at you suggestively.
Kiki's like, okay.
She's a little into it.
The boar rolled a 3, so it goes up to you. It's going to use its hooves, but I think it's because of the cross-eyedness of it all is disoriented and is not, you know, trying to hoof at you. Yeah, exactly. Riley.
So how far is it?
It's right next to you now again. It's within the same 5 feet of you again. I know.
It's like really weird. Okay. All right. Kiki is feeling frustrated, but, you know, when in battle.
So wait, now it's Anya's turn, or does the boar have more to do?
No, boar's Anya's turn.
Anya wants to make short work of this situation because it seems ridiculous. So she's going to go ahead and send Guiding Bolt at this.
Wow.
Beautiful little boar. Because also she's thinking, like, you know, with radiant damage, maybe it'll, like, cook him a little bit, and then we can the yum-yums that
I
come out
of him.
I thought
you were a vegetarian.
I mean, she is, but now she's been in this world for so long, you know?
Like a week?
No, I love another unlikely friendship between Anya and Kiki with a lot in common that we didn't realize before.
You know, when Anya doesn't have something or someone to care for right in front of her, sometimes she falls back into a baser pattern, you know?
Wow.
Okay, so... And obviously, when I do this, it's going to break concentration on the shield of jeans.
Okay.
So do I have to roll for this, or do I just... Yes, I do have to roll for the AC.
The boar's AC is 12.
Perfect. So I got a 17.
Ooh.
Nice. Ooh.
And now I have the damage that is taken by this little piglet.
4d6 of radiant damage.
Yeah. And on the next attack roll made against the target before the end of my next turn has advantage thanks to the mystical dim light glittering on the target until then.
Oh, wow. My God. Well, it has 20 hit points as of right now.
All right.
Roll those dice.
3 + 5 = 8. +6 = 14. +3 = 17 damage.
So it's got 3 hit points left.
Okay.
Has 3 hit points left. And what does that look like as you guiding bolt the shit out of this innocent wild animal?
Innocent. Okay.
Listen.
I love that you set us up with predators that are going to try and kill us and then make us feel really bad about
it. Yeah. I would just like to say, like, he started it. I was literally just going up the path.
Just cruising.
True.
He looks nefarious in the drawing of him. But
that's so pretty.
Anya puts her arm back as if she's going to throw a football. And then instead, when she throws her hand forward, the bolt shoots from her fingertips and right at the glittering boar.
Let's go.
And she makes a guttural scream when she does it.
Which sounds like?
Oh, God, you fuckers.
You did it to yourself.
You said it.
I know, but it's because I want Brynn and Dr. C to have to roll again. They hear this shit. So she goes,
ooh. Wow.
That's what it sounds like.
That was very guttural.
Yeah, guttural.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
Amazing. That was your action.
I've already jumped off Butter, so I'm going to, like, throw his reins onto a nearby branch.
Butter doesn't have any reins.
Oh, that's right. He doesn't have any reins. I'm going to say,
Butter, stay here, okay? And give him a thumbs up. And turn around to head toward Kiki.
Does she need to animal handle?
Yeah.
I'll try it.
Oh, God. Animal handling is...
Let's just say a 12 or over.
Well, I got a 17. Oh. 17's my magic nice. Number this turn.
Butter listens to nice. You.
Excellent turn.
Thank you.
So is it now time again for Dr. C and Bryn to see if they hear?
Yes.
Yeah, let's try it.
And I think Bryn will roll with advantage this time because Anya let out, and he's really connected to Anya. So, like, that guttural scream.
That's fair. Because of the
yes,
guttural.
He's more attuned to Anya's guttural screams.
7.
5 and...
Oh, my God, you guys.
14!
Oh, my yes! God!
Okay, so Bryn's head shoots up, and then he looks down at the ground, and you feel him kind of, like, giving your shoulders a little shake, Dr. C. And he says, Mama, Anya's in trouble.
And then Dr. C looks at Brandon and is like, when is she never in trouble? All right, let's go. Christian.
Rude.
You fly us toward wherever Bryn says we need to go.
And Bryn points down.
Yeah, Christian does a dive. Christian does a dive down into the clearing. And could you and Bryn please roll for initiation?
Ooh.
And we'll put you in the lineup.
1.
Nice. Bryn rolled a 19.
Yeah, Brynny.
Bryn!
Oh, Bryn's wow. coming in hot.
Let's go over to the tunnel.
Oh, boy.
Great. Where CC has just been bitten.
Yes, CC has just been bitten.
Inner thigh bite.
Oh, my God. I forgot about the inner intimate thigh.
Intimate. Me.
And it will be Sister Pluvius's turn?
Yes.
Come on, Sister P!
Okay, so Sister P is going to feel once more this, like, the source, this power running through her that is almost too much for her to contain. But she's in battle mode now. So she is once again going to swang that scimitar and try to get some of these ground bats away from her. Oh no, she rolled a 2.
Oh no.
Sister Pino.
I think she's distracted by the decapitation.
Yeah, the guilt. The guilt.
Mm. The horrors.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They do persist.
They do.
All right, so now it's the swarm's turn.
Great.
You could try to acrobatics your way out of it if you wanted.
Yeah, I could try to do another, like, leap over them. Is she close enough to the wall to just try to leap at the wall?
Just like, I think an athletics check just to see if you can clear the swarm first before we deal with the wall.
Okay. Athletic. Ooh, 18.
Wow.
Hey. Nice.
Yeah. So you miss, but... You use that momentum to, you know, spring up and over the swarm of ground bats.
Cool. Okay, great.
It is that swarm's turn.
Yeah, so they don't care that they've just been leapt over. They're just going to go after her again.
Yeah, because they hear the sound of you hitting the ground hard.
Mm-hmm. And they roll a 14, and her AC is 15. So I guess maybe just she got a little further away than they realized. They're not able to reach her in time.
And they're getting in each other's way and, like, bumping into each other and stuff.
Great.
CC.
Poor CC is very, by the way, injured from this bite.
Owie.
7 points, right?
Yeah.
7 points. Well, I do have some healing potion, but I think I need to finish fighting first. So I want to use one of my spells. I want to use Starstruck.
Ooh.
What is that?
It feels very Sailor Moon.
Oh, my gosh.
Or no, I'm so sorry. Sorry. I think, wait, or is it Captive Audience? Which one turns them into stone? Oh, Captive Audience. Captive Audience.
What?
Can you read, what? Can you read the description of it for us?
Yeah, Captive Audience. Casting time, 1 action, 15 feet range. I'm assuming that thing is close to me.
Yeah, close enough.
For 2 minutes, you use your charismatic wiles on a creature within range. All targets must make a charisma saving throw. If they fail the saving throw, they are frozen like statues, able to see and hear, but unable to move. For the duration.
Nice.
Cass will have to roll a saving throw too.
So you can only do it at one thing or all the things?
It's all creatures within range.
I think I can do it at all of them within 15 feet.
Cool.
Oh, but I also have this thing where I don't have to roll with my spells. I have, what is it called? Natural talent.
Mm. What is it called?
What a flex.
I love the names of all of these things.
What a flex.
I'd like to use my natural talent to captivate.
Oh my God, it's so good.
The description, as a result of your natural talent in this world, you are an innate caster who does not require a focus or materials to cast a spell. So I do have to roll, but I don't require focus or materials.
Yeah, so what does this do again?
Basically, Cousin Kevin Cassandra, and potentially Clarissa all need to make a charisma saving throw with a DC of 15.
Whoa.
But don't I can select who it is. When you cast a spell using a spell slot of second level or higher, you can target three additional creatures.
Oh, so it only works on one creature at first.
Yeah, and it's my target.
So okay,
that's
great.
Who I target.
Cool. Then, yeah, Cousin Kevin.
Oh, you guys, he rolled a 16.
Oh.
What does that mean?
It means he's immune.
It didn't work.
Is he not deteriorating in some way because of the poisoning?
No, he is. It's been seconds.
Yeah.
Takes 10 minutes for that stuff to set in. Mm. But, you know, he's definitely not with it. And I think that's part of the reason why he wouldn't be able to be a captive audience member to anybody right now. You know?
It was a very good try, though.
Yeah.
So was that my move? What do I get to do now?
That's your action.
My action.
You can move if you'd like to.
Wait, I also get bonus actions.
Yes, you do.
Yes, you do.
Can I try an unarmed slap?
Yes. Will it give any damage if you do?
Let me see.
You can still do it.
Yeah, it's always fun.
Just for spite.
1d4-1.
Oh, great.
Really?
Minus one. 1d4 minus one.
Yeah.
Nice.
Okay. Yeah, his armor class is 13.
Okay.
Yeah, slap him.
I would like to slap him. Do I roll a d4?
Well, first you have to roll to see if you can hit him, right?
Is that a 20?
A d20, and then you'll add one for your attack bonus.
20.
You got a 20? Oh!
And then do I get to add to it?
You get to roll for damage twice.
Wow.
First roll is a 4.
Okay.
And then a 1.
Minus 2.
So 3.
Okay, great.
Yeah. So he had just bitten your inner thigh, and then you give him a clear slap across the face for doing so.
Unhand me!
All right.
Amazing.
Yeah, Cass.
And Cass is no longer frightened, right?
Correct.
Yeah, I'm over it.
Good.
It was like a second that it was like scary, but then I was like, what am I talking about? This is just like a stupid little bat penguin that's foaming at the mouth.
Okay, you know, Kevin works hard.
Yeah.
Whoa, Kevin apologist. Okay. So Cass is going to... Oh, do I have any spell slots left? Where am I at?
Yes, you have one first level spell slot left and two second level spell slots left.
Okay, I think I'm going to try intrusive thoughts again.
Okay. On Kevin?
Yeah.
Poor thing.
Hey, Kevin, remember me? Yeah. F*** you, you little piece of shit. You're going to come after my girl, Cece? I'm going to f*** you up, man. In fact, you're so insignificant, we're just going to in this tunnel. And you know what I bet's going to happen? All your little friends are going to because they don't actually like you. I heard them talking about you behind your back. They were all like, Kevin's piece of shit. We hate Kevin. We can't wait to beat him up.
Oh my gosh. Oh my devastating. God. Jesus Christ.
Oh my God.
Wow.
I can't wait to beep out all the swear words here. Just make it even more effective. Yes, so his AC is 13.
Ouch.
And this is you're doing a first level intrusive thoughts again?
Oh, I have the option of doing a first or a second one, right?
Yeah.
All right, I'll do a second level intrusive thoughts.
Okay, great.
Does Kevin have to roll or is it Riley?
Yeah, Kevin rolls.
Yeah, a wisdom saving roll with a DC of 13.
Okay, and he also is going to roll with disadvantage again because of everything going on.
The poisoning.
Yeah.
So much going on.
Such a rough day. He got a 9 and an 8.
Ooh.
Ooh, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, sorry, Kevin.
That time it really got to him.
He's got mommy issues and it was in his mom's voice.
So ever since he waddled up there and got stuck, he's been feeling a little insecure about not being with the rest of the swarm.
That's right. So he's about to take 4d6s of psychic damage.
He sure is.
Which is...
Wow.
2.
Poor Kevin.
5. 11. 16.
Wow. He has 1 point left.
He's
devastating.
Devastating.
Oh.
As he hears these intrusive thoughts, you can see him like darting around and like, you know, lots of shuddering and then a single tear rolling down his face.
He bit me.
Right. Yeah.
Thank you, Cass.
Yeah, no, you're right. Yes.
You're welcome.
Yeah. Lovely. And now it's his turn. It's
now
his
it's Kevin's turn.
I hope he cries.
I think he's going to have to try to bite Cece again.
This little bitch.
Cece is very...
biteable.
I was going to say injured, but also biteable.
You know what? Actually, okay, this is what he's going to do. He just got destroyed by Cass.
He got red for filth.
Yeah.
He did.
Yeah. I think he's actually going to disengage and try to escape at this point.
Oh, Kevin.
Kill him.
Which way is he going to go?
Yeah, where is he going to go? Home to his mommy.
Damn.
You couldn't get off of this platform.
Idiot.
Yeah, I think he's going to just try to move past Cece, potentially down the beam. Mm-hmm. But Cece would get an opportunity attack as he
Hell
does
yeah,
so.
Hell yeah, I would.
Opportunity attack.
Slap him again.
I'm going to, it's really going to hurt him. I mean, a slap.
Yeah.
Slap it.
Great. Yeah, maybe the back of his head as he turns around.
The back of his head.
God damn.
This is for my leg. This is for my thigh. 20.
Oh my yes! gosh. Yay!
He's dead.
Yes, yes,
wow.
yes.
You slap the back of his head so hard that he flies through the air and with a big splat hits the beam and just slides down to the ground.
Oh, dang, is he dead?
He's dead.
He's dead.
Oh.
R.I.P. Kevin.
Do the other bats go after him and eat up his dead corpse? Because I'm hoping that's what happens.
They made a really loud noise.
They made a really loud noise, and that slide was more of like a squeeze. And it just echoed throughout the whole tunnel. And now the swarm is making, they're waddling over and you can see them start to devour.
I tried to warn him.
How many are left in the swarm?
18 are left in the swarm. And they're now eating Cousin Kevin.
Are they going to get infected by the purple mushroomy stuff?
Oh, shit. Oh. Yes.
Kosha, you beautiful genius.
They're eating his poisoned corpse.
Yeah.
It is
yeah.
really going through his bloodstream right now. So I think yes.
Yeah. We got to get out of there because it takes too long.
Blue, get your wares. Let's boogie.
We got to run.
But are we still in initiative because of the swarm? Because like we defeated Kevin, but the swarm's still involved, right? Or are they distracted by the dead Kevin?
The swarm is distracted for now.
You have a choice. You and Cece have a choice. You can either leave Pluvius potentially for dead or stay in initiative until it's resolved with Pluv.
Leave her.
I mean, we have all our stuff, right?
You have all your stuff.
Except for your horse.
Yes, at this point, the unseen servant has brought everything over.
Sister Pluvius is still wearing your sneaky cloak.
Yeah.
And has a scimitar.
And my scimitar.
Yeah.
I love the way you say it, Valen. It's just fine.
No, it's great.
Cece isn't that familiar with Sister, so she turns to Cass and she says, how important is she to us?
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, here's the thing. Like, she's relatively useful because up until mere moments ago, she was pretty much listening to anything that I said, which was nice, and was just, like, down to help and, like, down to carry all my stuff. But yeah, the new development with her kind of going, branching out on her own and then contradicting herself almost immediately makes me not really trust her anymore. She does have my sneaky cloak though on, and I feel like that's pretty valuable. And also she has my rhinestone dress, which is nice, but like I could probably do without if I needed to.
Who is this Cass?
I know. Cass is getting street.
I don't know. What are your thoughts?
Well, so let's see.
Do you guys want a second to think about it?
Yeah, I mean, I think we would be discussing. Yeah. So if you want to go to somebody else, we can okay. come back to our discussion.
Yeah.
Okay. While you discuss whether or not you're going to leave Sister Pluvius for dead, we'll revisit the high road.
The commentary.
I don't know her. I don't know her.
She's a chicken.
I don't know her.
One size fits all seems like a good idea for clothes until you try them on. Same goes for healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. Learn more at uh1.com.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Dr. C and Bryn are gently placed on the ground by Christian. Christian flies up to a nearby high branch in a tree and sits up there watching
over
the
situation. Are we still in initiative?
Yes, it's going to start with Bryn now at the top of initiative. But, Ooh. You know, you're just coming up on the scene. You see a potentially slightly roasted wild boar. You see Kiki right next to the boar.
Just like ravenous.
And on the ground, I think, because you had rolled out of the way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I feel like Dr. C and Bryn land right here on the south side of the map.
Okay.
And Anya is on the like northwest side right here.
Yeah.
And Kiki is in the middle of the stone's center.
Cool.
And where is the boar? He just tried to get me and like sort of bounced off my
sphere. In the same square as you. Yeah, because he was trying to hoof you.
Okay.
To death.
Yeah.
How dare he?
The son of a bitch.
So it's Bryn's turn?
Yeah.
Okay, Bryn is going to, he's holding this dagger that Dr. C just gave him.
Yeah, baby Bryn.
And he heard Anya scream, and he is going to run straight at that boar and try to attack it with this dagger.
Wow.
Oh my God.
Hey.
That's my boy.
That's so stressful.
So he's using his movement to get to the boar, yeah. And then the AC of the boar is a 12.
Okay, great.
Wow, Bryn.
So Bryn is fiercely running up with his dagger held aloft.
He rolls a 16.
Nice. Where do you stab that boar?
So he is going to stab that boar right in the chest.
Whoa. Underneath?
Well, I feel like it's, you know, he's little, so he's like going right for it.
Is he
going
to slide under the boar?
Yeah, he's going to slide under the boar and stab him in the chest as he slides underneath.
Shit, Bryn!
Oh, your Bryn might get hooved. What's the damage on that?
Oh my God.
Please get a 3.
Okay. He rolled a 4. He rolled a 4.
Yes!
He rolled the 4 up.
God.
Bryn killed the boar.
Bryn killed the
Bryn.
Boar.
Bryn boar killer.
Wow.
Kiki, how do you feel about that? Bryn just saved your life.
Oh my God. Kiki is looking at Bryn shocked. I think she runs up to Bryn and just like...
Bryn holds up the dagger.
And Kiki does like one of these, and then she reaches into her bag to see like what she can give to him in thanks.
Wow.
Obviously it's not gonna be like one of her gold bars because that's just like too much. She's out of beef jerky, but she sees this little talisman that she got from that weird woman, and she holds it out as a token of like thanks and gives it to him.
Wow, based on Valen and Allison's reactions, that is a choice.
She just sort of bows her head and gives it to him.
Yes.
Wow.
Bryn takes it.
Yeah, he does.
Bryn's crying.
Wait, what is the description of this talisman? What does he just accept?
Can you read the talisman?
Kiki doesn't know.
We didn't update the character sheets with it yet, but it was like a little figurine.
It's not the cursed item, is it?
Yeah.
Sure is.
Incredible.
And Anya doesn't know that it's cursed.
Kiki does know it's cursed. It has a label on it that says cursed.
But she can't read.
But she can't read.
She can't read.
She can't read. She can't read.
So she's an incredible turn of events.
She thinks it's like a doll for children.
She probably thinks that's its name, like a Beanie Baby, you know? She probably just thinks that's like an informational
page. He's holding a scythe like a Grim Reaper.
So he's covered in boar's blood, holding a bejeweled dagger, and has just accepted a cursed item from Kiki.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, unknowingly.
Wow, Bryn is having a big day.
I'm getting like strong Carrie vibes from Bryn right now.
Yeah, you know, the nice thing about the way that Bryn did that is because he was underneath and he slid, he kind of made this perfect like beginning incision underneath, so.
He just disemboweled it.
Can Kiki use her fingernails and start skinning him?
Yes.
Okay.
We love it. We Great. Simply love it. Anya's gonna run over and make sure Bryn's okay and give him a big hug and say, Bryn, you did it. You killed him. And Bryn is, yeah, covered in blood and he's trembling a little bit, but he stands up straight and he says, I did it for you.
Oh, my sweet boy. Are you okay?
Yes.
And she gives him a big hug and she looks across the clearing at Dr. C and like is trying to check in with her eyes.
Dr. C looks over at these two and she starts to walk over and goes, Bryn, that was incredible. You must feel so strong.
And he turns and he smiles proudly up at her and he holds up the dagger as though he's showing her that he did it with the thing that she gave him.
Oh. Yeah. I'm really proud of you. You don't have to be scared any longer.
Is Anya wondering where he got that? Or meh?
I mean, I feel like a lot has just happened, so she's like sort of glossing over it.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
Sure.
Dr. C goes, I gave Bryn this dagger.
Okay.
And as a parent, you know, I should have spoken to you about gifts. It is a sharp object. I don't know what your policy is about weapons in your house, but it just, he shared something with me that was, he just needed something. And I felt like he deserved a gift.
Dr. C, I trust you. I trust Bryn. Bryn, do you love your gift from Dr. C?
He nods.
It is yours for your keeping. Be careful, but I trust you. I know you can handle it. And Akiki, what is this beautiful thing you have gifted my Bryn? It is so... Oh my God, Bryn, put it down. Bryn, do you know what that word says on the tag?
He shakes his head.
Okay, that says cursed. Do you know what that means?
He nods and he looks at it in his palm.
Do you want to keep that?
Once you have been gifted a cursed item, you cannot simply put it down.
Bryn, I will accept this item from you.
Oh.
Wow.
If you do not want to have it in your care.
That's a lot of pressure to put on a little kid if he's the one to curse his own mom, you know?
Bryn isn't sure how to feel about this because he wants to protect you. He just proved that he can't.
Kiki's like, let him keep it. Let's have a little fun out here.
Dr. C goes, Bryn, you can also give it to Auntie Dr. C if you want me to keep it for you. And you can have it whenever you want.
Oh my, the manipulation.
God, this is a lot of pressure.
Kiki is just wondering why a couple of grown-ass women would want a doll. And she's continuing to just chop
with
up
your
this.
Yeah. I think that Dr. C and Anya should roll to see who gets
persuasion.
A persuasion contest.
Well, yeah, are they trying to persuade him or are they both just offering and then Bryn has to make that decision?
Mm-hmm.
Like, does Anya want Dr. C to not have it? You know what I mean?
Right.
I would think that Anya wouldn't want Dr. C to take that kind of risk, but she would understand because I think that Anya would do the same for one of Dr. C's children.
Oh.
Yeah, Dr. C's just fucking with Anya.
Oh, good to know. Cool.
But, you know, intentions, right?
Yeah, okay.
So,
right,
like,
of course.
She's trying to get Bryn on her side.
So maybe a persuasion contest.
All right, let's do this persuasion contest.
I've been rolling so poorly today, don't worry.
You got this.
15.
Nice.
11.
Wow. Yeah. So Bryn sidles up to Dr. Christina and holds up the cursed item. And then he reaches up and takes her hand.
Dr. C goes, thank you, Bryn, and puts it in her bag of holding. And then says, why don't you run over to Kiki and see what she's doing? Maybe she'll give you another gift.
Yeah, that'll be nice and soothing for you.
Are you removing the tusks?
Yeah, I think at this point I've skinned him.
Yeah, yeah.
Gotta lay this out in the sun.
That's right.
Gotta let it dry.
The meat has been cooked a little bit by the guiding bolt of it all. So, you know.
I think Kiki is like, guys, this was a lot. I think we should leave this out in the sun to dry, start a little fire, and take up some rest. Because we haven't slept, right?
Yeah.
It's correct. Been a long day. Uh-huh. Awesome.
Yeah, I feel like this is where we should call it.
Dr. C looks at Anya and goes, I think Kiki had a good idea.
Yes, I agree. Kiki, did you know that if you crack the skull open and use the brain with some brackish water, we can tan the hide a little faster?
Girl.
Kiki's like, what does brack mean, Dr. Anya?
Oh, brackish means slightly salty water.
Yeah, I'm not seeing any salt water around here, but okay, that sounds good. And then she just continues to literally do what she's doing, which is like laying it out in the sun.
So while you all make a camp in the center of these three stones, we will check back in with the tunnel party.
What have Cass and Cece decided?
Yeah, so I feel like Cass has explained to Cece,
in my experience, sometimes when you like save someone's life, they might be more indebted to you and like could potentially be used for something down the road. But I'm also honestly cool with just leaving.
Cece is injured mm-hmm. and doesn't really want to take any more injuries on.
Mm-hmm.
But she has one more spell that she think might help, maybe, which is her sleep spell.
Oh.
Shall I read it?
Yes.
Yes.
Because I played an anesthesiologist on TV, probably Law and Order. impressive range. Range is 90 feet. Area is 20 feet. Duration 1 minute. This spell sends creatures into a magical slumber.
Wow, this is perfect.
Roll 5d8. The total is how many hit points of creatures the spell can affect. Creatures within 20 feet of a point you choose within range are affected in ascending order of their current hit points, ignoring unconscious creatures. Starting with the creature that has the lowest current hit points, each creature affected by this spell falls unconscious until the spell ends. The sleeper takes damage, or someone uses an action to shake or slap the sleeper awake.
You love a good slap.
A creature's hit points must be equal or less than the remaining total for that creature to be affected. Undead and creatures immune to being charmed aren't affected by this spell. So that's an option.
Okay.
Or we leave. She explains that entire thing.
Wow.
That's a Sophie's choice.
It is a Sophie's choice.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like the downside to leaving also might be that, like, she doesn't get eaten and then she, like, comes out and then she, like, tells everybody, you know?
All right. Well, let's. I think that's our best bet. That's the only way we can target multiple creatures at once.
Right.
Okay. So you're going to remain in initiative and try to help Sister Polybius.
Yeah, and Cece wants that to be very clear. She whispers that to Sister. We're going to try to help you.
Okay. You stage whisper.
Stage whisper. Hey, just so you know, we're going to try.
Sister Julius looks up at you with her eyes wide, and she nods aggressively as though she's like,
yes, please do.
So that slap happened on Kevin's turn because it was an opportunity attack against him. So it is now Sister Pluvius's turn.
Oh, okay, great.
Perfect.
She has, you know, they're now eating Kevin. The swarm is eating Kevin. So she is once again going to try to climb the wall to get to where Cass and CC are.
Amazing.
Save yourself, sister.
Okay.
That is I know it's a DC 13, but I forgot if we said acrobatics or athletics for the stone.
I think for me it was acrobatics.
Yeah, she's going to use her acrobatics as well because that's higher.
Okay,
great for her. Oh, she rolled a 17 plus 2, 19.
Hey.
Nice. Whoa.
Nice, Sister P.
Yes, Miss
Blue. She's basically Spider-Man.
Yeah.
Amazing. So you lift yourself up onto one of those stones, and you can start making your way through the stone.
Beautiful. I think she probably only makes it about halfway on one turn.
I agree. And then there's going to be another check.
Yeah.
Because I think the next time, it'll be about jumping onto that beam and not falling into the swarm.
Great. Okay, cool. So it's the swarm's turn next, but they are distracted by their feast.
Yes, they are.
So then we will move on to Cece, who can try her sleep spell.
Yeah.
I mean, should I or should I save it? You're like on your way.
That's
like,
true.
I don't want to make it worse.
Yeah,
it's really up to you.
That's very true.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like maybe save it because there's only so many spell slots available to all of us.
Yeah, I don't want to, like, I don't know how else I can help you, but I don't want to make it worse. I think I'll use my action to send good vibes. Oh, I lie. I'm not skipping my turn. I'm going to use my healing, my little healing potion.
Oh, awesome. Duh.
100%.
I'm going to dab a little healing potion on my bite.
Fantastic.
But I don't know how much I have.
So then if you're going to drink all of what you have, that's half a greater potion of healing. So that'd be 2d4 plus 2 of healing.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
That sounds perfect.
Let me roll d4 twice.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
4 and 2.
Plus 2?
8.
Nice. Full health. Oh, great. Good for you.
Glad I remembered I had a bite.
Yep. Your heel gash closes up.
And she's like lost a little bit of like the meat there. Like it heals, but like took away some of the extra fat in her thighs. And she's like, oh, nice.
But just one, but on just one leg.
But just one thigh. Yeah. One thigh is very, she has a half a thigh gap.
Yeah.
And she's excited about it.
Oh my God. Amazing. Okay, cool. So that was Cece's turn then, which brings us to Kath.
Okay, so it seems like Pluva's on her way across the wall, so that's nice. Are all of the bat penguins distracted by Kevin, or are any of them, like, trying to get us still?
No, they're currently distracted, but they are eating him pretty quickly.
Oh. Okay, and the horses, where are the horses?
They're still on the ground over by where Sister Pluvius was.
Can the horses fit through the gap that we're about to go through, or is there no hope for the horses leaving the tunnel?
I think the bigger challenge with the horses will be getting them up to that level.
We just have to wait.
Is it possible or is it impossible?
They're physically able to fit through the tunnel itself. It's just like, getting them up the beam might be challenging.
But I don't think it's impossible.
Okay. So in that case, I think, especially because Cass notices that they're almost done eating Kevin, which is fucking horrifying because it's been like 10 seconds.
They're hungry.
Yeah. I think I'm going to get into my mage hand chariot and float myself. Well, first, I'm going to tell Cece this. I'm like, okay, Cece, here's the deal. I'm going to go distract the bats. And while I'm doing that, can you and Pluv, you know, try and get the horses out? Because, like, at the end of the day, it would be nice if they could be there to, like, carry our stuff and to ride them and, you know. Does that sound good?
Cece wants to remind Cass that this thing is rickety, this little plank thing. Like, what if we get them all the way here and they can't make it up the plank? Do you still want to roll the dice? Like, they could land on it, break it, and fall into those penguins.
Yeah, I feel like they're going to die either way, so, like, we may as well try. I mean, like, no skin off my back, but also, I mean, yeah, I don't know. What do you think is a better move?
I mean, I feel like let's wait to see when Pluvius gets over here so we have more power on this side and we don't disrupt them and get their attention back on Pluvius.
Yeah, I just am worried because it seems like they're about to finish eating Kevin and I wouldn't want them to then, like, you know, go after Pluv.
Okay, we'll try it.
Okay, maybe I'll just distract them and, like, if you can get the horses, great, but if not, at least that'll give way for Pluv.
I'll wait to see how well you distract them. How about that?
Okay.
So Cass is going to get into her little mage hand chariot and send herself down the tunnel a ways.
Like back towards the entrance or towards the exit? Okay, back towards the entrance.
And then at the top of her lungs, start singing a song to the bats.
Mm-hmm. What song?
It goes,
look at these bats, aren't they neat? All that they want is just something to eat. These are the penguin bats, and they are just hungry.
And, like, hopes that that song will just draw them back down the tunnel in the other direction.
What do you think, Allison?
Yeah, I mean, it was pretty loud. Mm-hmm. I think that...
They definitely heard it.
Yeah, they definitely heard it. Should we roll to see, like, what percentage of them follow you?
Sure. Maybe a D10, and we'll call, you know, 10 is 100%.
Who's rolling? Am I rolling?
You're rolling, yeah.
Oh. 8.
Nice. 80% of them. 80%. That's great.
Do I get any kind of, like, performance bonus? For my incredible singing ability. I mentioned eating in there. I mentioned some food in there.
That's true.
Yeah, no, I mean, I would say that the D10 is the reward for being such a good performer.
So all but 3 of the ground bats are distracted and follow along after you, leaving 3 of them eating the remains of Cousin Kevin, which means that, you know, there's more meat for them to go around. Mm-hmm. So you've done a very good job.
Great. I think it's back up to Pluvius's turn then.
Okay, so Pluvius is going to try to jump from the wall onto the plank.
Hell yeah, Pluv.
Which is an acrobatics check this time.
She rolled a 14 with a +2, so 16.
Wow.
Pluvius.
You do it.
Pluvius.
You're able to do it.
Pluv.
You land in the middle of that beam and you can go up to the top.
Great. Pluvius does just that and arrives at the top, panting and covered in a sheen of sweat and ground bat blood.
Oh my god, Pluv's been through it.
You guys really saved a life today.
God. Mm-hmm.
It is the swarm's turn.
Great. Well, the swarm, I think, is distracted right now still. So
are we out of initiation then?
We're out of initiative.
So as Cassandra sings this beautiful song and gets the swarm of ground bats to come over to her, on their way there, the ponies see them and get spooked and start running out of the tunnel in the opposite direction.
So Sister Pluvius looks after the ponies as they run off down the tunnel, and she looks sad, but she also sighs and she says,
at least they will find their way home.
Amen, sister.
Lovely.
I want to start walking towards that light.
Great.
Yeah, Cass is going to float back over now since it was pointless to go distract the bats.
Yeah.
So.
Well, no, it wasn't pointless. You freed the ponies.
That's true.
Yeah, you did. You saved the ponies' lives.
You freed the ponies.
Cece says that to Cass. She like pats her little wet shoulder. She's like, sis, it's okay. You're okay. You saved the ponies.
Thanks.
Yeah. You're welcome.
So you make your way through the rest of the tunnel. And as you approach the exit, you do feel a light breeze on your hair and on your skin. And it's the first fresh air that you've had in quite a while, because remember, it smelled really, really bad in this tunnel. And you kind of stumble or float your way out into the open air. Congratulations, you have survived the ground bat tunnel.
Woo!
Woo! Woo! To one side of the tunnel exit, you can see the end of what you assume is probably the high road as it slopes down the craggy hill to meet up with the low road that you were on. And together, the roads converge and continue on straight forward. And to the side of the road, a painted wooden sign planted in the ground nearby reads, "To Othar City," and in parentheses underneath, "and also Upper Thicket."
Yeah, it seems like we should go this way.
Yes, let's go that way. We're going that way.
Cool.
Great. Yeah.
So as you continue down this path, shall we check in with our campers?
Sure. So are you guys aiming for a short rest or a long rest?
Long, man.
I feel like a long rest. I feel like the full 8-hour situation.
Okay. Oh, wow. Great.
Okay. Cool.
Any bedtime stories before we go back over to
CC and Cass? Dr. C would love to read more of her chapter book.
Oh, okay.
I also think Kiki is starting a fire with her tinderbox. Is that what that's for? Or is it for love?
Definitely.
Okay. Yeah. So she's going to start like cooking up this boar.
Yeah.
She skinned it. It's drying. And now the meat is just.
Anya has some like vegetables and leeks from her kits. And she's going to add some of those. And we're going to get a stew going, baby. Let's get a stew going.
Ooh, sounds good. And as a reward for battling the boar, Anya does notice about 8 honey mushrooms over by where the boar was eating them anyway.
Finally.
Honey mushrooms.
What's the deal with the honey mushrooms?
You can gather them. There's 8 of them.
I'm gonna gather them. I've gathered them.
Great.
Thank you.
Yeah. And how's Brock doing? He's just chilling.
Mm. Yeah, he's a little shaken and a little embarrassed.
He should be embarrassed. No, I'm kidding.
How injured is our little baby bear?
Brock?
Rocky.
He was knocked prone, but he wasn't like actively injured.
Okay.
He was just kind of like, you know, make sure. Knocked off balance and fell down.
Mm.
Okay, great. You know, Dr. C, you're going to pull out your tome. Of the Vulture Queen?
Yes, I am. I'd love to read chapter 2.
All right. So chapter 2, you turn to chapter 2 and you see a very intricately drawn, pencil drawn, and then like with painted detail image of the staff that you have, you know, gotten from the Vulture Queen. And it's you know, clearly it was drawn with love and painted with love. And handwritten in the margins around this image, it says,
"Did I ever tell you about my staff? It really is the most beautiful thing. It offers both power and protection. Use it wisely and often, but not too often. Oh, you'll figure it out."
Wow.
And then beneath that, it tells you how to do one thing that you've already learned to do, which is absorb corpses. And it also gives you the information on the staff's withering ray.
Ooh, withering ray.
Basically, it's how you use the staff as a weapon. And you can fire a beam of sickly green negative energy at a target and deal necrotic damage.
Boom.
Ugh, negative energy.
Necrotic damage.
So, yeah, mm-hmm. That's what chapter 2 says.
Wow. All right. Good night, everyone.
I have some Bryn questions for, you know, after dinner. Is he snuggling up with Mama Anya on her bedroll and with the kitty? Or is he bringing Kitty and himself over to Dr. C bedroll?
First, he's still covered in blood, so he would like to wash off.
Of course.
But I think that he's going to... He'll sleep with Mama Anya tonight.
Okay.
Does he hesitate, though, and Anya notices?
I think that he almost thinks about sleeping alone.
What?
Ooh. Yeah, which is also
grown
fair.
Grown boy.
But then he thinks better of it and goes back to Mama Anya. And he's still, you know, the cat was with him. So, the cat is also a little bit covered in blood. So, they just need a bath.
Yeah.
Wow. Mm. I imagine him snuggling up to the dagger.
Yeah. He's still got it in his hand.
Are those hamstrabbits still okay?
They're fine.
Oh my God, the hamstrabbits. Lord.
So we have hamstrabbits.
Cat.
Little spooning the cat. Little spooning Bryn. Yep. Little spooning Anya.
Yes. And don't forget that he also might have some other creatures with him too.
Of course.
What?
And the marbles.
Wait, what other creatures?
What other creatures does he have with him?
Well.
Don't worry about it.
Yeah.
I am worried about it.
Anya just kisses Bryn on the back of the head and lays down and goes to sleep next to him.
Very nice. He stays awake for a while.
Yeah, it's got a lot on his mind.
And what about you, Kiki? What is Kiki up to as she drifts off to sleep?
Kiki is chomping on her cooked boar and she's getting her fingernails all dirty. And she's trying to eat it and then, like, wipe off her fingernails. And I think she's thinking, like, whoa, that was a really close call. Am I losing it?
Mm. Wow.
And then she's just going to eat herself to sleep.
Nice.
Classic.
Nice.
Love that.
Back over to Cece and Cass and Pluvius.
Great.
I feel like as we're walking along, I want to just, like, have a little debrief with Pluv about what just happened back there.
yeah.
Because I'm disappointed in her, and I want her to know that, like...
Like, Pluv, I feel like we were off to such a good start, and then it seemed like you lost your head a little bit back there in the tunnel. Because some of us just have a stronger connection to the astral plane, a little bit more insight. So while obviously at the end of the day, you would have loved to not have to kill the bats, We definitely had to kill the bats. I can still see how traumatized you are from beheading four of them when we could have just peacefully poisoned them. So maybe next time you trust your elders, or at least your tallers, and listen to us when we tell you to do things.
As she's a puddle.
Sister Pluvius is kind of triggered because this is how Brother Zane used to talk to her.
Wow. And Cass is the one who taught her that wasn't okay.
Exactly. Wow. So this is kind of, you know, this is hitting her hard. And the power that she was feeling during the fight is starting to wear off a little bit. And she's feeling really shaken and upset about, you know, what she did. But she stands up straight because Cass did teach her to stand up straight. And she says,
I understand we have a difference of opinion regarding the value of the life of the ground bats, but I stand by my decisions. And if I'm going to be your second in command, I need to know that you won't try to force me to do something against my moral code again.
I think Cass does not respond well to threats. So, unfortunately for Pluve, yeah, Cass doesn't want her to be your second in command. So I think Cass is going to say, like,
yeah, that's not how it works here at Women Pow. We don't threaten each other. So I'm going to need you to go ahead and take off that sneaky cloak and give it to Cece.
Wow.
Does she?
I feel like it's the honorable thing to do, honestly.
It is, but I do also think that Sister Pluvius needs to roll for hurt feelings.
Okay.
20. Natural 20.
Does that mean they're really hurt or she's really not hurt?
Yeah.
It feels honestly like it's a combination of the two. Like, okay. this was beyond
betrayal.
Beyond for her, but it's like frozen her now into she will not be affected by Cass anymore. And in fact, you know, this is going to be something that she remembers. But she does. It is the honorable thing to do. She takes off the sneaky cloak and she hands it to Cece. And she picks something out of her pocket and holds it up to Cece. And it's the ring that Cece was wearing when she was a stone dragon. And Sister Pluvius says,
I would like to be your second in command. And I offer you this ring back to you as a promise of my loyalty.
Cece's like, don't know what the hell happened. But I like stuff. This is the easiest comeuppance. Sure, you can be my second in command.
Yeah.
And Cece takes the ring and she says she doesn't know what to do. She's not like Cass. She doesn't have underlings. And so she just like boops her on the nose.
Yeah.
That is the most physical affection that Sister Pluvius has gotten from anyone in a really long time. So it feels really nice.
So you continue on the trail.
You continue on the trail and the road that you're on becomes wider and more defined. And now it's lined on both sides by low stone walls. On one side of the road are dense shrubs, and on the other side are tidy fields of crops that begin to pop up, crops growing in straight, neat lines. And up ahead, past the fields, you see a village. It is cozy but prosperous, and as you continue on, you see a brightly painted sign near the side of the road that reads, Welcome to Upper Thicket.
Hey!
We did it!
You guys did it.
The gateway to Othar City.
Ooh. Wait, can Cece, like, while she's passing by the crops, can she grab some nourishment just to have?
Sure.
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
So there's carrots and stuff.
She's got some carrots.
Yeah, so you're coming up on this village. Welcome to Upper Thicket.
Thanks.
Y'all did it.
Would you like to enter?
Yeah.
Sure.
Great. You continue past that welcoming sign, past the fields, and you enter the village of Upper Thicket. The road curves upward, and it's lined on either side by a motley assortment of buildings, some tall, some squat, all brightly painted and well cared for. The road opens out into a town center, shops and buildings circled around a large open area with a market stall in the middle. The town is bustling with people of all shapes, sizes, and species. Across the open area, you see a spooky-looking well. Its bucket swinging yes! gently back and forth, yes! even though there is no breeze.
Yes!
Smaller roads branch off, leading elsewhere, and signs hang on the buildings in the town center, indicating what you might find within, such as a tavern, an inn, a blacksmith, a music shop, and an apothecary.
Wow.
Oh, sorry. What's the blue and purple building?
That is an inn. Mm. It's actually two inns.
Is that why there are Z's over it? Because you can rest and sleep there? I love that.
I just thought the building was sleepy. I feel you, building.
I think Cece for sure needs to rest. She's not a puddle of water.
Right.
She needs rest.
Great.
Should we go book a room at the inn or whatever?
Yeah. I think Cass is going to disguise herself as some jewelry on Cece, like a silver necklace.
Ooh.
So that she can like stay close and discuss things with Cece. So she's going to just like morph herself into like a necklace shape around her neck.
Okay, great. So Cece, and I guess Pluvius, you approach the wide double doors of the inn. It's two doors that open outwards to create one large entrance. But as you get closer, you realize that each door actually has a separate sign, one of which reads, "The Upper Thicket Inn," and the other, "The Inn at Upper Thicket." Which door do you open?
I love it.
The Inn at Upper Thicket sounds cheap.
Like a Red Roof Inn. I hear you.
Yeah, like the Red Roof Inn, like the Hilton on the Inn, whatever. What was the other one? Sounded fancy.
The Upper Thicket Inn or the Inn at Upper Thicket.
The Upper Thicket Inn sounds more Cece's. Mm. And since she's basically in charge,
yeah,
she chooses that one.
Okay, great. So you open the door that says the Upper Thicket Inn, and you see that you are entering into a large open space with a thick line drawn right down the center, starting in the doorway where you stand and continuing all the way across the room and up the stairs that are built into the far wall. On either side of the line, the inn is decorated in a different style, almost as if it is two inns sharing one space. Your side, the Upper Thicket inside, is full of heavy, dark, well-made furniture with thick, furry throw blankets. Mm. And the other side, the Inn at Upper Thicket side, is full of elegant, expensive-looking furniture with clean lines and soft, fluffy cushions.
That doesn't make sense.
Two fires burn in two fireplaces, and behind two front desks on opposite sides of the room stand two dwarves.
Oh, y'all, they hate each other.
That's 100% sister vibes.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. They are so segregating.
I think Cass is going to whisper to Cece, like,
I don't know, the other side looks a little fancier.
Can I roll for intuition?
Yeah, insight.
Okay, 15 plus 1, 16.
Okay, great. I think with that, you can see that this perhaps used to be one inn that clearly has been divided into two somewhat recently. Oh. And between the two dwarves who are standing on either side, you can see that, you know, there's some kind of tension in the air between them for sure. Mm-hmm.
How do they react when Cece enters in her crown?
Yeah, how are they, what vibes are they giving me?
Yeah, their eyebrows are both raised and they both seem eager to have a guest, especially one of your stature.
Ooh.
Does one of them like speak sooner than the other one, or is one of them going more out of their way to accommodate such a royal, regal person?
Well, because, yeah, you stepped into the Upper Thicket inside, so you're closest to Thoric, mm-hmm.
Iron Fist,
who is a dwarf. You know his name is Thoric because he has a sign on the counter that says Thoric, Iron Fist. And he goes,
Hello. Can I help you?
Cece goes, oh, I'm so sorry. We went to the wrong one. Because she agrees with Cass. She agrees with Cass that the other one is nicer. So she just steps over the line, if that's okay.
Amazing.
Damn.
Yes. And you make your way over to the other side with a sign as well saying her name.
Yes, a sign that says Thera. Thera smiles and she throws kind of a glance at Thoric.
Cece loves this.
And says, oh, hello. Welcome to the Inn at Upper Thicket. We're so glad to have you here today. Would you like a room?
Cece's a little, with the energy, it's a lot of energy, but she's like, yes, we would like a room, please.
Oh, wonderful.
Two rooms. Cece would like her own room.
Well, for two rooms that will cost 3 gold pieces per night per room. And we have beautiful, simple but very luxurious rooms, a fusion-focused menu bringing together cooking styles and traditions from all across Saxbira.
And she gives another glance to Thoric.
And he just shakes his head at her.
Cece stops and says, simple? And then she hops over the line.
Oh, damn!
Back to the other hotel, and she's like, tell me about your rooms.
He goes,
oh, well, here at the Upper Thicket Inn, we've kept in a more traditional style of the old dwarven traditions, you know, so you'll get lots of plaid.
Cece says, no. Say no more.
Cass just goes, no, 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 absolutely not.
Cece steps right back over
him. And he goes,
but I could do it for 2 gold pieces a night per room.
Cece whispers to Cass because she just realizes it to Cass. She whispers into her necklace, do you have gold coins?
Yeah, I do for sure. I love a bargain, but I also love a fancy room.
Same. I think you can share a room with a sister.
Oh,
with her own money.
See, that changes my mind about my money. Hold on.
Do you have enough for 3 separate rooms? It's the 3 coins per room.
We need one room for a person, one room for a person, and one room for a pedal.
A necklace.
Believe me, I also love having my own room, but like, I don't feel like you putting me in a room with Pluve like that, you know, I mean, come fair, on, fair. Bro, you're wearing my crown.
Let's just share a room.
Right, sounds good. Then yeah, we can do one for us. And then, I mean, maybe we put Pluve in the other inn, you know? Like we put Pluve in the 2 gold piece inn and we put ourselves in the 3 gold piece inn.
Oh my God. You know, I think we should keep her close to us.
Okay. We can do 2 rooms in the fancy inside.
Okay. So we'll take 2 rooms, please.
Okay. To Thera. Thera is thrilled.
And Cece wants to be polite. She's like, sorry, dude, but we fancy. Okay.
He bows. He bows and gives a dirty look over to Thera.
And Thera just smiles back at him and says loudly,
yes, we knew that opening this inn would be very welcome to many travelers, more so than the traditional dwarven inn that the town had before.
And she pulls 2 keys off of the, like, there's, you know, one of those things behind the desk where all the keys for the rooms are hung up. And she pulls 2 keys off and she says,
this way.
Real quick, Cece, can you ask her if she knows about any, like, person, like, eternal slumber that's happening, like, somebody who's, like, asleep in the town? That's what we're doing in Upper Thicket, right? That's what we're looking for in Upper Thicket? No, we were at a reward. We were going to get a reward in Upper Thicket for some shit.
There's a lot of things in Upper Thicket.
There was a reward on the table for something in Upper Thicket. Maybe you can ask Pluve and see if she remembers what it was.
Okay, I'll ask her when we get to the room.
Yeah.
So Thera leads you up her side of the stairs. And the stairs just kind of like, you know, curve up to 1 long hallway and the line is drawn down the middle of the hallway. And all of the doors on one side are, you know, like heavy wooden doors with like the number plates on them, like in like a heavy metal. And on Thera's side, they're like a light wood with, you know, a beautiful like painted sign that says the number of the rooms. So she puts you into 2 rooms that are next to each other. There is a connecting door between which you can choose to leave open or lock. It's up to you.
Yeah, lock that door.
And she tells you that if you'd like dinner, it's being served, you know, tonight. Of course, there's also the tavern in town, which has lovely food as well. But if you'd like to come to her part of the restaurant, you're welcome to come for some delicious food that brings in elements of food from all over Saxbira. And they will have a traveling bard coming in from out of town to perform. But then she leaves you, you know, she leaves you to get settled.
Okay.
So yeah, maybe ask Pluve that question about that reward.
I ask Pluve that question about the reward.
Okay, so Sister Pluvius nods because she remembers the note that she and Cass found that contained a letter from someone named Shadow, or codenamed Shadow, saying that there was a mysterious tome hidden somewhere in Upper Thicket called the Tome of Tone, and that if you were able to find it and bring it to Shadow in Othar City at a pub or tavern called, I think, the Sleeping Bear. But yeah, you're looking for a Tome of Tone that's hidden somewhere in Upper Thicket, and there's a reward for it.
Cool.
And does Cass remember the thing that Finlow said about the crown?
Somebody needs a crown to wake up.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right.
I just don't remember where she is. I thought maybe she was in Upper Thicket, but maybe not.
She is.
She is.
Oh.
So, okay. So, Cece, here's the deal. That crown that you're wearing, like, apparently we could decide to bring it to somebody to, like, wake up this girl. There was that ghost kid, like, back in the... You were there. But, you know, I'm kind of torn on, like, do we keep the crown? Because, like, it seems kind of cool. So I'll leave that. You know, we can put a pin in that for right now.
Yeah, let's think about it.
Yeah.
Okay.
So then we go to sleep, right? We, like, take a rest, have a night.
Can I order room service?
Yeah, can we get that bard to come up to our room and do, like, a private performance? Because I feel like I'd love to see the traveling bard, but I also don't necessarily want to, like, mingle with the locals.
Exactly.
I think you'd have to go ask Thera about that.
Is there, like, a little bell we can ring or something?
There's not a little bell.
As Cece gets tucked into bed, crown upon her head, what is she thinking and feeling?
Cece's thinking, bitch, I still got it. I killed a big penguin today with my bare hands. I healed myself. I got a crown. I got a minion. I got, like, just coming up. Cece's on the come up. Mm. And she just drifts off thinking about how she barely did anything and people just handed her stuff all day.
Cassandra Kasternak, still a puddle. Getting into bed yourself? What are you thinking and feeling?
Yeah, I think she sort of slithers herself off of Cece's neck and like curls up on the bedside table probably. Because I feel like I don't want to get lost in the covers in case Cece tosses and turns at night. Mm. And it also gives me a nice vantage point of the door, which is locked.
Yes.
But just in case Pluve tries to like try some shit. She's pretty bummed about Pluve. Honestly wishes she'd just left her for dead in that tunnel. so she's probably going to find a way to ditch her at some point. But yeah, I think she's feeling good about this partnership with Cece. It turns out that Cece and her are more on the same page about a lot of stuff than she had previously assumed. Mm. So it just feels easy. You know, it's not like she's like fight Anya for some sort of moral compass. It's like, you know, it feels like we just have a natural sort of inclination to think similarly. Mm. So yeah, she's just going to curl up in her little puddle self. And also Clarissa, I'm assuming, is curled up at, you know, near next to the bed. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So she just sort of, with her last spell, I guess, she says, "Hey, Clarissa, just want to say goodnight." And then aww, curls up and goes to sleep.
Aww. Cute. Sister Pluvius, what are you thinking and feeling as you open the door to the other room?
The hurt in her heart has turned to ice against Cass. She wants to help Cece get away from Cass at this point because she thinks that Cass is bad news. And she's also just like really enjoying being in this inn. This is the biggest town she's ever been to. She's never been in an inn before. This is luxurious for her. So she's going to starfish in that bed. And because she's so small, yeah, that bed is so yeah, big. And she's going to have a really good night's sleep.
Dr. Christina, the Tome of the Vulture Queen laid against your chest. What are you thinking and feeling as you drift off to sleep?
Dr. C, with the book heavy over her chest, starts to drift off into sleep, and she tries to reach into her bag to feel for the cursed little doll that Brynn is having her keep, and kind of just like strokes the back of it.
Mm, creepy.
Kiki, what are you thinking and feeling as your tummy is full of wild boar meat?
Kiki has been doing a little stress eating. It was a very eventful night for her. And I think she's feeling a little bit raw and vulnerable. And she kind of like looks over at Brynn and she's just kind of like, maybe he's not so bad. Mm. And then she just sort of like reaches into her pocket and grabs her little golden flask and like takes a sip and then goes to sleep on the side of her good eye.
Mm.
Brynn, clutched onto that dagger and all the animals, what are you thinking and feeling?
Brynn is feeling, he's still wide awake. I think it'll be a long time before he falls asleep tonight. He's remembering, you know, the blood of this event reminded him of when he was shot by Kiki. So he's having a lot of trauma come back up. And he's also still thinking about the memories that were recently unlocked about him and all of his friends and all of the people who died. And he thinks he might remember who they are, but it's a little too far away. So he's going to try to remember.
And Anya, as you lay next to Brynn and you can feel his body tense up and you know with that mother's intuition that he hasn't fallen asleep yet, what are you thinking and feeling?
I think for the first time, Anya is questioning herself and if bringing Brynn with her was the best decision for him, because she maybe didn't realize that she separated him from everything he's ever known. She senses change in him, and that also scares her a little. But she's not afraid of him. She's more afraid of what this experience has been doing to him.
Mm. Mm. And with that, this has been another episode of RHO D&D.
Woo!
So much violence.
Very violent episode. God,
truly.
So much violence.
Thanks for listening to Real Housewives of Dungeons & Dragons. Want more RHO D&D? Head to patreon.com/housewivesofd&d for access to our player character sheets, ad-free episodes, merch drops, our Discord mansion, detailed notes and confessionals from our DMs, full-length video versions of our episodes, our bi-weekly behind-the-scenes podcast, live events, bonus content, and more. patreon.com/housewivesofd&d. Follow us across social media at Housewives of D&D and send us your thoughts at housewivesofdnd@gmail.com. Our DMs are Valen Shore and Allison Zada, and our players are Riley Rose Critchlow, Elizabeth Ho, Liz Jenkins, Kosha Patel, and Nicole Weiland. Original music by Valen Shore and sound design by Kevin Senzaki. Real Housewives of Dungeons & Dragons is produced by Reality RPG and is not associated with Bravo or Wizards of the Coast.
Why don't more infant formula companies use organic, grass-fed whole milk instead of skim? Why don't more infant formula companies use the latest breast milk science? Why don't more infant formula companies run their own clinical trials? Why don't more infant formula companies use more of the proteins found in breast milk? Why don't more infant formula companies have their own factories instead of outsourcing their manufacturing? We wondered the same thing. So we made ByHeart, a better formula for formula. Learn more at ByHeart.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.